Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
On Tuesday night, Santa Claus will leave his home at the North Pole and set course to visit children across the world. And many, of course, will wonder how Santa and his helpers make it all happen. How many deliveries does he have to make? How long does he spend in each house? And why is Rudolph's nose red? Well, here to help us answer some of those questions is physicist Dr. Shane Bergen from UCD. And if there's something you've always wondered about and never been able to figure out, then do text us now on 51551 or WhatsApp us 0870 32 32 32. So Shane, we all know that Santa's magic and we can't figure everything out, but science can offer us some clues, can't it, around how he manages to do it all?
Just about, but it really puts us to the test. Every year I get questions from little boys and girls around the country and from some from grown-ups to think about how Santa Claus might be using science to his advantage, because what he does on Christmas Eve every year is truly magical and truly extraordinary. And we can only begin to kind of scratch the surface as to what he might be doing.
Well, we have Arlo and Oscar in Kildare who've been in touch. What happens when a house doesn't have a chimney? How will Santa get in? We have a Christmas book that says Santa comes down the chimney, so we're very worried because our house is new and it doesn't have one.
Well, do you know, I bet you there's lots of other boys and girls in the same situation as Arlo and Oscar. And I want to reassure them that Santa always finds a way to get into the house. And he even knows if you're not in your own house on Christmas Eve, if you might be staying with your nanny and granddad, or you might be off maybe in a hotel or somewhere different, he'll still find you. But the way he gets into the house is extraordinary. A little boy called James from Castleknock asked me the other day, why doesn't he just use the front door? And I thought about it and I said, well, maybe he's trying to avoid alarms, because that's going to slow him down, having to turn off alarms as he comes in. So the chimney is probably his preferred option. And he comes down the chimney at incredible speeds and he's able to come into your house, deliver the presents under the tree and get out all within about a thousandth of a second. But he's moving so fast that Santa Claus would actually start to stretch, right? He would be kind of in the area of physics that Albert Einstein described. So he would actually be starting to stretch and spaghettify, right? So he would be the perfect shape to come down the chimney because the chimney is long and narrow. So he'd come down that very, very quickly. But he can equally, he can slide under the door and he could even probably come in through the keyhole if he needed to.
Yeah, and vents and things like that. So maybe if Arlo and Oscar have a look around their house and see where they think he might get in, that might be a useful thing for them to do.
Yeah, but don't try and trip him up now.
He only has
a thousandth of a second to get into your house and he mightn't have time to eat the food, but maybe he will eat something if you leave it out for him. But he'd probably look for the Christmas tree, drop off the presents there as quick as possible and move on to the next boys and girls.
A thousandth of a second, is that all he has really?
Yeah, when you think about it, Santa Claus has to visit around, I reckon, 400 million children on a Christmas Eve. And he has, because of the way time zones work, if he moves east to west, he has 31 hours to do his job. So he has to move at really, really fast speeds. You know, Aaron O'Dearn were on there earlier on. They might want to take a leaf out of Santa Claus's book as to how you can get from A to B in record time. He'd be moving, we reckon, at around 10,000 times the speed of a jumbo jet airplane to get around the world in one night to visit 400 million children.
But let's not forget the magic as well.
You know,
we can try and figure this out using
science. No, you couldn't. But, you know, it's fun to think about it and to imagine. And so boys and girls have questions. Maybe their mammies and daddies don't know because they don't know everything. But it can be fun to sit down and to imagine it together. And that's what science can help with here, is just to help with the magic.
Try and work it all out. Now, how does he know where all the children are? Because we mentioned that you mightn't be in your own house. But even apart from that, how does Santa know where all the children live?
Yeah. And how does he manage things like GDPR, right, in terms of data protection? I reckon Santa Claus has the most advanced database in the world, right? He probably has what we would call in science a supercomputer. So the computers that we all use on our phones or at home, they have memory in them and it can be slow to access things and to pull up files, etc. But I reckon Santa Claus has something like a quantum computer. Now, Google in recent weeks showed that they're starting to do work in this area, kind of a computer that can work much, much faster and much more efficiently than anything else. And I reckon that Santa Claus, because he lives in the North Pole where it's really cold, those computers rely on coldness for them to work actually in the real world. So I reckon Santa Claus has probably been way ahead of us with the technology and has
a
supercomputer. So he knows, and it's patched into the GPS that he'd have on his sleigh. When he's over Europe, he would use our satellite systems like the Galileo satellite that Europe uses for GPS. He'd also be tapping into the Copernicus satellite system to understand the weather systems. And he'd even be looking at the solar weather, because Santa Claus would have to fly so high in the sky. He'd be above the regular weather. He'd be interested in the effects of what the sun is doing at any time. He might be looking at the work that people in the Dublin Institute for Advanced Studies are doing on solar weather.
Yeah, but the weather would knock a flake out of Santa.
No, I remember, I don't know if you remember, Claire, but there was a big storm in the 1990s when I was the early 90s. I was still little, and a big storm, and the power went out in our house in Kildare on Christmas Eve. And there was a to-do the following morning about getting the turkey on. But Santa Claus still managed to deliver what was probably my favourite Christmas present that I ever got, a musical keyboard.
Lovely. Yeah. And you still have it, I'm sure.
Oh, I do. And my little niece Ruby is asking for one from Santa Claus this year. So it's going to be great fun now if he delivers that on Christmas Day.
It certainly will be. So we've covered how much time he's going to spend, how he gets in, and the computer. So I would imagine as soon as a baby is born, their name is added to the quantum computer in the North Pole. Do we reckon?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And he would know, as I said, not just who you are, he'd know who you live with. He'd know where you are if you're moving, you know, if you're not in your own house on Christmas Eve. So he can make sure to get those presents to you. So no matter where you wake up on Christmas morning, Santa Claus will have found you.
Let's talk about the sleigh then. So many Christmas movies are based around how does Santa's sleigh fly, but what's the science? What do we know?
I watched Elf recently, and you may remember from that film, it was all about Christmas cheer.
Yes.
Forgetting
powering the sleigh.
Absolutely. So it's no harm to sing along and to be in a good mood over Christmas and to be smiling about what's going to happen. But I reckon from a science point of view, well, it's pulled by reindeer. Given they all have antlers, that would mean that they're female reindeer, right? Because the males lose their antlers. At that time of year. So all of the eight reindeer would be female, right? And they're magical reindeer that have big antlers, and they would be moving at such speeds that I reckon that the antlers act like wings on an airplane. So they would cause lift. So they would allow the sleigh to take off and to pull Santa Claus
along. They need those antlers.
Oh yeah, well, you think about what he's pulling in the back. If he has to deliver all those presents, like how many presents are there? 400 million children, and say if each get two presents each, which would be very reasonable, that would, I reckon, mean a sleigh that would have the volume of 20 times the volume of Croke Park. Now, I don't mean the seats, I mean the whole bowl of Croke Park filled 20 times. That's how many presents he'd have to be pulling in the sleigh to give two to each child.
But so, again, magic.
Yeah, I don't know how he does it. Yeah. So he might use something like nanoscience. We don't know how he would fit them into the sleigh. We genuinely don't know. But the scientists can start to imagine what he might do. But we don't know for sure. Nobody knows for sure.
So we have the antlers then. They act like the wings of a plane, as you have explained. Any more science behind the reindeer and how they fly?
Oh, yeah, well, absolutely. When you think about where they get all the fuel, right? There's no petrol tank in a sleigh, right? So we reckon maybe that Santa Claus and the reindeer are using the food that the boys and girls might leave out on Christmas Eve and turning that mass into energy. So they'd be using something like Einstein's famous E equals MC squared equation, which says that energy and mass are equivalent. You can turn matter into energy. And if he can do that, a small amount of food would get him and the reindeer a long way. So he might be nibbling on the treats and the carrots that you leave out for him and the reindeer on Christmas Eve.
Any idea how old Santa is and his reindeer?
Well, thousands and thousands of years. Like, so Santa Claus goes back as long as we can remember. I think there has always been stories of children receiving gifts at Christmas. And isn't it great? No matter all, I mean, think of all the things that have changed in our lives in recent times, that Santa still comes every year. He came to you and to me when we were little, and he'll continue to come to the children in years to come.
It certainly will. Now, we've covered how many presents Santa delivers. We've mentioned Christmas movies, though, as well. And always in the Christmas movies, there's snow.
Yeah.
And on our Christmas cards, there is snow. Why does it never snow at Christmas? Well, very rarely here in Ireland, but we see it so all the time associated with Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. Think about all the our ideas of Christmas, and we think about the postcard of Christmas, the Christmas card itself, tends to be a Victorian scene. And in the Victorian era, which is the 19th century, it was the tail end of what they call the Little Ice Age. So the temperatures at this in this part of the world were actually a lot colder than they are now. So snow was much more common in Ireland and in England back then. So when we see these pictures of what Christmas looked like, they tended to have snow in them. Unfortunately, or maybe some would say fortunately, we don't have the snow anymore, because it's just that little bit warmer. I've never experienced a white Christmas. Once, I remember as a child, it snowed on Christmas Day, but nothing stuck.
Mm-hmm.
But I bet you that mammies and daddies are probably glad that it's not snowing.
Because everyone doesn't matter.
No,
you have as
fine.
Much fun
Absolutely.
Without the snow. Rudolph's nose, why is it red?
Yeah, well, Santa and the sleigh are moving so fast that he actually starts to change colour, right? So this is an effect called the Doppler effect. He's moving at such incredible speeds that as you see Santa Claus coming toward or moving away from you, right, he and the sleigh would appear red. So it's perhaps why we think the suit is red, and perhaps why we think Rudolph's nose is red.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to look out on Christmas Eve, you should be asleep, but if you were to look out and see a bright blue object moving in the sky, it would mean that Santa and Rudolph are moving toward you. They're probably coming in to land on your roof and deliver your presents, so you'd want to get back into bed and go to sleep.
And do keep an eye out on Christmas Eve, because my father was outside on Christmas Eve and he saw Santa flying past and called me out, but unfortunately
really?
I was just too late and I missed him, but he saw him. So.
My uncle saw him too when he was little. He said he saw a red flash going up the chimney.
See, if you're watching out before you go to bed, you might just catch a glimpse. Shane, thank you so much. That's
Happy
Dr. Shane Bergen. Happy Christmas to you too.